When I identify my own will with the higher will of this collective Jewish experience, the revelatory experience of the Torah, I become free. I become fulfilled. I become elevated. I function as human beings should function in the most beneficial and the most proper way. True freedom is therefore not doing one's own thing, but identifying one's own individual will with a higher one in a state of full obedience. But notice that full obedience is full freedom also, because by following the law, by being moral and ethical, by making sure that I don't make mistakes, that I'm not led by my passions, that I don't kill and murder and steal and do wrong things and cheat and so on, but that I'm always following the right path, I am ultimately the freest person in the world. By being obedient or by identifying my will with something higher, I have elevated my humanity to the level that I was, for which I was created. This formulation as well, interestingly enough, suggests Hegel's call to subordinate the individual's subjective feelings to what he called the absolute mind, which again was associated with the German state and German society. The language of individual will and the absolute mind, again, might suggest an influence, and it might not. I throw this out to you as a possibility. What is interesting in a thinker who argues that to understand Judaism, you must understand it from within, not from without, that you must hear its own utterances of faith, so to speak, and thereby follow what it is saying by observing all of the law in its totality, its inner coherence, and also subjecting your will to a higher will, that although we are hearing Judaism from within, we seem also to be hearing, coincidentally, Hegel's philosophy. Of course, obviously transposed into a Jewish traditional context. So here we have it, Hirsch's major arguments. And then what remains? The argument, like Geiger, in this respect, he is very close to Geiger, that Jews don't necessarily return to Israel. In other words, the idea of Jewish national restoration is also de-emphasized. The only state which Jews are to follow is the state of following the law. In other words, for him also, there is a consciousness of living in diaspora and a sense of fulfillment in living in diaspora. Moreover, although he doesn't use the word mission of Israel, as Reform Judaism had used, as Geiger had used, it seems quite clear that the Jewish people are there to perform a moral and ethical life to serve as an example to the world. In other words, on some level, the idea is to be found in this Orthodox Jewish thinker as well. The idea of Jews living in time to effect a transformation of the moral universe of the entire world. So here we have it. Hirsch presenting his Neo-Orthodox Judaism, Geiger presenting his Reform Judaism, two very interesting individuals who knew each other, two distinct rabbis who fought the great battles of the 19th century, and out of their philosophies of Judaism, out of their theologies of Judaism, came two distinct movements, two remarkable ideological legacies that are with us right until the 21st century. But I'm not done with them yet, because I want now to begin to compare the two and suggest, indeed, both the similarities but the profound differences between their two stances. On some level, as I've suggested, they are the same. Both thinkers share the need to harmonize Jewish identity with the social and cultural demands of the European world. Both have a religious, not a national, definition of Judaism. And both of them articulate one way or another the mission ideal of inculcating morality among all the peoples of the world. Of course, they are unlike in that Geiger is not committed to the traditional notion of literal revelation, and Hirsch is. That is, the 613 commandments need to be observed. The individual can't decide on his own whether to observe them or not. But what else makes or suggests a difference between Geiger and Hirsch? And here I want to offer two additional insights, which I think are very helpful in understanding both these thinkers and also something about the nature of 19th century Judaism.